This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. On the morning of Thursday, May 24th, 2001, at what was then the Radisson Hotel in Burlington, Vermont Republican Senator Jim Jeffords made this announcement.
In order to best represent my state of Vermont, my own conscience and principles I have stood for my whole life, I will leave the Republican Party and become an independent. Control of the Senate. Control of the Senate will be changed by my decision. I'm sorry for that interruption, but I understand it. I will make this change and will caucus with the Democrats for organizational purposes. I have changed my party label, but I have not changed my beliefs.
Following the announcement, Jeffords took a few questions from the national media that had descended upon Burlington. He was asked when he had made that final decision.
I made my decision yesterday on the way down, really. I'll tell you why. Why did you wait that long? I promised my moderates. I met with the moderates yesterday. And it was the most emotional time that I have ever had in my life with my closest friends urging me not to do what I was going to do because it affected their lives very substantially. I know, for instance, the chairman of the Ways and Means, the Finance Committee, has dreamed all his life of being chairman. He's chairman about a couple of weeks, and now he will be no longer the chairman. All the way down the line, I could see the anguish and the disappointment as I talked. So I told him I would not make my final decision until I had time on the way to Vermont to decide. And I did leave it open, but I could not justify not going forward with my decision.
Many of you listening right now may remember that day in history 15 years ago, but whether you remember it personally or not, it was a big deal in American politics. It made national, even international headlines, and as Jeffords said, it changed the balance of power in the U.S. Senate. That was 15 years ago today. So we're going to spend the hour looking back at what it was like to be in politics or Vermont journalism at that time and on the lasting legacy of Jim Jeffords' decision. We're joined today by three people with strong memories of that time. Eric Smolson is vice president of public affairs at Georgetown University, but he was communications director for Senator Jeffords in 2001. Eric, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Bob Kinzel, you know well, reports mostly on politics for VPR as a State House reporter, and he's the Friday host of this show. And he was reporting for VPR back when the Jeffords announcement happened. Bob, nice to talk with you.
Great to be here, Jane.
And here in the studio with me in Vermont is Tom Barry. He was field representative for Senator Jeffords at the time of the decision, working out of the Vermont office. He's now a field representative for Senator Patrick Leahy. Tom, nice to have you on the program.
Thank you, Jane. Happy to be here.
You know, Tom's here, as I said, with me in the studio, so I was watching your reaction as we played that first clip, and I'm sure all three of you were having some pretty strong reactions, just the memory of that time and the energy in that room. But, Tom, you had your eyes closed and you were smiling. What were you thinking about?
I was kind of going back to the day of the announcement, and what struck me, and I reread the speech last night, so the wording of it's familiar to me, but the cheering that drowned out the announcement, what a lot of people might not realize is that the only people in the room were staff, a few VIPs, and the press. That cheering was taking place outside of the meeting room and outside of the building. So I was thinking about the sheer volume of that and the excitement being felt by the people who were cheering to the extent that they could drown out a press conference that was going on in a large ballroom behind closed doors.
You know, we got some recollections from listeners and some who were actually there, or not, as you said, in the room, but there at the Radisson, they're trying to, you know, see what was going to happen. And one, Barrett said, I was at a seminar in the same hotel in which Senator Jeffords made his announcement. The thank you, Jim chants were so loud we had to suspend. So I got to see that piece of history live. So going right to what you said, Tom, that, you know, it was It was a very loud crowd there. And why weren't they allowed in the ballroom?
You know, a lot of decisions were being made pretty quickly. You heard the quote from the senator in the lead-in was that he was still wrestling with us on the flight back. And so all of the preparations you normally make for an event like this were being made a little bit on the fly. And the decision had to be made by the senator's leadership and by the Burlington police as to what was going to be possible while ensuring that the press conference could go off and that everybody would be safe. And the decision was made just moments before the press conference that it just wasn't going to be possible to open the doors and let the people in.
Eric Smolson, what's your recollection of that day and what it was like to be part of that moment?
Mary, thanks so much for having me. It's so wonderful to hear Tom's voice and to hear Bob's voice and to hear all those memories. As Tom said, we were security was an issue as we were getting ready to fly back to Burlington. On the night before, the media swirling around the announcement and around Senator Jeffords was really intense. And, we really were at that moment very focused on allowing him to make his decision, to make the announcement, to talk to and really to talk to the Vermont press, to talk to his constituents and explain his decision, which was such a difficult but important and profound decision.
We saw a note on Facebook from our director of corporate support here at VPR, Leslie Blount, who says, one of the memories permanently archived in my mind, being at the Radisson when Senator Jeffords announced he was becoming an independent, is one of them. Hundreds of us filled the lobby and then two staircases as he made his announcement in the first floor media-only ballroom. As we strained to hear what was going on behind the closed doors, the faint sounds of a transistor radio caught our attention. On the staircase across from me, a man held the small radio with his upstretched arm, and the room became silent as we listened to the senator's remarks, our gazes fixed on that small radio. Although, as we heard in that clip, they didn't remain silent for long. And listeners, if you remember the moment Jim Jeffords declared he was leaving the Republican Party, we'd love to hear your recollection. Or you can ask a question of our guests who were very much in the thick of it at the time. Post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Or call 1-800-639-2211. Again, that number is 1-800-639-2211. Bob Kinzel, when did the press know something was up and something might be happening here?
That's a great question, Jane. You know, we knew a couple of days beforehand that something was up, and I can't tell you how many times I called Eric Smolson to say, Eric, tell me what's happening. And Eric would say, it's in flux. I can't talk about it. I must have talked to him 5 or 6 times a day for the 2 or 3 days leading up to it. And the last night, I was frantic to try to get some confirmation, either with Eric or Howard Coffin, who we'll hear from later. So it was building and building and building. And, you know, this was 15 years ago, and the whole idea of the 24-hour news cycle was relatively new, and yet it dominated everything. It was in every broadcast, every newspaper, every radio, because it was such a big decision. It was going to have such an impact on the workings of government. You know, remember at the time you had a Republican president. You had a Republican Senate. You had a Republican House. They were ready to do some business. And all of a sudden, Jim Jeffords throws a wrench in this whole thing by becoming an independent and throwing control of the Senate over to the Democrats. I mean, it was huge, and it was such a circus. I think it was the biggest political circus I've ever witnessed in Vermont at the Radisson that day, with satellite trucks everywhere outside. We've heard about the hundreds of people who were just outside the lobby. It was crazy. And there's a great picture of someone dressed up as Benedict Arnold that makes a lot of newscasts. And so it was this circus of people holding signs saying, thank you, Jim. I mean, there was just this enormous outpouring of support from Vermonters for what Jim Jeffords was doing.
John Odom, the Montpelier City Clerk, wrote in to say, now that was a fun day. I was one of 2 employees at the Vermont Democratic Party at the time, and as such was lucky enough to be one of the first handful of people who knew it was happening. I got a hold of a public access camera and managed to BS my way past security. I had no press pass because it was so nuts. I set my little rig up next to Candy Crowley of CNN and made my clunky, unprofessional video. And Chris in South Burlington says, I was there in the old Radisson Hotel that day to watch Jeffords' live speech. What an amazing and historic moment. He was a great leader and truly cared about protecting Vermont's environment, going back to his work as Attorney General to help create Act 250, forward to his work on the Clean Air Act amendments in 1990. As a veteran who served active duty in the U.S. Navy for several years, he also understood when and when not to use American power. After Jeffords' speech, we walked outside of the Radisson and got a bumper sticker, playing off the famous Don't Mess with Texas bumper sticker. The Texas was scratched out and Vermont proudly scrawled in place in prominent green ink. And actually, a lot of people are remembering that particular bumper sticker. Sarah says there were bumper stickers made when George Bush and friends arrived in Washington that read, Don't Mess with Texas. And when Senator Jeffords made his brilliant decision to go independent, someone made stickers that said, Don't Mess with Vermont. And Marie was working in Texas at the time, and the Don't Mess with Vermont bumper stickers were a big hit with the New Englanders also working the disaster. She says the bumper stickers were an alteration of a Texas bumper sticker that said, Don't Mess with Texas, trying to get folks to pick up trash and not litter. Texas was crossed out in green, and Vermont was written over it. She says it was a great reminder that one person can change the balance of power, and you shouldn't count out the small states. A lot of Texans learned where Vermont was that summer. Tom, you wanted to comment?
I just want to say, I don't know this personally since I wasn't on his staff, but Senator Leahy's press secretary advises me that he was having those bumper stickers made up within hours of the announcement.
No kidding. He was one of the ones making them?
That's right. He had some bumper stickers made up.
Huh.
Yeah.
Eric, I hear you wanting to chime in too.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that connection to Texas really, I mean, the mood of the country at that time, remember, this was a few months after the 2000 election, which with the recount in Florida and the Supreme Court, and it was the first time, I think, since the Eisenhower administration that the Republicans had controlled the House, the Senate, and the White House. And there was this feeling across the country of, for a lot of people, disillusionment. They felt very disenfranchised. And I think when Senator Jeffords made this decision, which was, you know, again, a tough one, the reaction, it gave people hope at a time when they needed it.
Now, you know, Eric, Bob was saying that he was trying to get this out of you, this information, because it was news at the time and people knew that something was up, but nobody would actually say, yes, this is the announcement. And there had been an announcement that Senator Jeffords was going to be making a pronouncement in Burlington, and so the national news media showed up. But Eric, you couldn't have thrown Bob a bone and told the local media maybe a few hours early?
Well, you know, we really didn't know until he said the words that he was going to do it. You know, we had given a statement to Bob and some other Vermont media the week before, which was pretty coy, and people didn't pick up on it as much as I thought they would, but I was looking at it last night. It said, this was like 4 or 5 days before, Senator Jeffords is comfortable as the most conservative member of the Vermont delegation, and regardless of party label, will do what he thinks is right for Vermont, the nation. And that statement, we were very deliberate, obviously, in every word, and we were sort of signaling that, look, this could be coming. Hmm. But he, you know, as he said in his own speech, his meeting with the moderates in the Senate was very important, and also the impact on his staff. And you know, when there's a switch of the majority in the Senate, there's a huge amount of turnover. And he was very conscious of not just the implications on a national perspective, the political perspective, but on the real human value that, you know, was going to make a difference in a lot of people's lives in different ways. And he was very, very conscious of that.
I want to talk about why he made this decision. But first, let's go to Bruce, who's calling in from Essex with a recollection of that time. Hi, Bruce. Go right ahead.
Hi. I go way back with Jim, back to 72 when he ran for governor, and I was on his staff in the House. I was in the audience, or in the crowd outside the main hall, and I was the guy with the transistor radio. I brought a transistor radio with me, and I had earphones, and what I did was I repeated everything I heard on the radio as Jim said it, and when he got to that point saying he would leave the party, that's when you heard that explosion of sound. And After it, Skip Valley, who was then, I think, the Republican National Committee man, came up to me, and he knew me, and he said that he had called Bob Stafford, my old boss, trying to get Stafford to talk him out of it, and Stafford wouldn't do it. As a matter of fact, Stafford told me late in his life if he had started politics again, he'd start as a Democrat. So those are my recollections, and I want to say hi to Eric, and I hope the family is well.
Thank you very much. Great to hear your voice.
It's great to hear so many people who were so connected. You know, this was a national and international news event, but it was also, you know, in some ways, in the way politics is personal to Vermonters, I think it probably did feel very personal. And Tom Barry, you know, you were a field representative working here in Vermont. It must have felt sort of personal here in Vermont. This is Vermont Senator. This is about Vermont constituents as much as it's about, you know, what happens in Washington and beyond. Did it feel that way?
It was very personal for staff because, you know, we all knew how focused the senator was on Vermont. And he put together a staff that was pretty diverse as far as our personal political leanings, but we were all working hard for Vermont. So people took it in different ways, but everybody stuck with him both through the through the event of the switch on his Vermont staff and then beyond that, and kept doing doing good work for Vermont. It did change how we did it, though. The staff in Vermont who worked for him on healthcare issues had the rug pulled out a bit because he had been chairman of the health committee. My star rose a bit as he took over the chairmanship of the EPW committee, and I worked on environmental issues. And so it impacted us on the personal level on the staff, but also just the people that we interacted with every day, everywhere in Vermont. It was, you know, it was a time when you couldn't go across the street or, you know, go to the grocery store without having people want to talk to you about what had taken place.
Well, and what had taken place sort of became, you know, this event that he had switched parties and what is this, or he had left the Republican Party, excuse me, and what was this going to mean for the balance of power and all of the shifts in all those committees. But there were real reasons why Senator Jefford said this was something he felt like he had to do. And let's listen to him in his own words here. He held a question and answer session with a handful of Vermont media in the afternoon of May 24th. Remember, Jeffords had campaigned for George W. Bush the previous fall, and Vermont reporters were saying to him, okay, so why leave the Republican Party now?
It was the budget, and the discussion of the budget, and the ordering of priorities in that budget that made me fully aware that he did not intend to really do what has to be done, and that is to provide more funding for our schools in particular, especially those that have disadvantaged children, not to fully fund Title I, not to fully fund IDEA, left me to believe that I had to make an important statement that the problems of this nation in education, even though they will be very well outlined by his education package, which will basically, when it's through, let every state, every person, every student know where they stand in education as far as where they should be. And the answer to that is going to be, it's going to be a very serious exposure of the serious education problems we have in this nation. And then to not provide any resources to make sure that we have the programs or the ability to change the educational system in a positive way, I just couldn't support him.
So, Eric Smolson, this question of special education funding or the lack thereof, was that really the straw that broke the camel's back for Jim Jeffords?
I would say so. You know, the first initiative, I think, of the Bush White House was a budget. And at the time, we were looking at a $1.6 trillion tax cut proposal from President Bush. And remember, this was coming out of the Clinton years, where we actually had budget surpluses at the end of 2000. And from Senator Jeffords' perspective, this was the time. And he, when he was a member of the House in the 70s, he was part of the a coalition that pushed through sort of the original special education law, which required all students, regardless of their disabilities or special needs, an equal education. And that with that obligation came a very high cost, and the federal government has never lived up to their obligation under that original law, which was passed in the 70s. So, you know, from Senator Jeffers' perspective, here we are. We have this tremendous budget surplus. We instead of focusing on schools and children in need and school districts and child care, it was this huge mantra on the tax cut. And it was very disillusioning for him. And you know, this was a 10-year budget. And, you know, he understood that this was the time to make a mark. I mean, $1.6 trillion tax cut was just unfathomable to him and to many others. I mean, the budget priorities in many ways set the policies for the country. And I would say it was the special ed, the tax cut, the focus on child care that really was really what really drove the decision.
We're going to talk a little bit more about why he made this decision, why he felt like he couldn't stay within the Republican Party. We're looking back 15 years to the day when Vermont Senator Jim Jeffords left the Republican Party. It shifted the balance of power in the Senate. And if you have a question or a recollection you'd like to share with us, call 1-800-639-2211 or tweet us at Vermont Edition. We'll also be talking with author and historian and longtime friend of Jim Jeffords, Howard Coffin, coming up. You're listening to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. 1 year after his decision, Senator Jim Jeffords was the guest of Bob Kinzel on VPR's Switchboard program, a precursor to Vermont Edition. Bob asked the senator what the best and worst parts of the year since his announcement that he was leaving the Republican Party had been.
Well, the best part is knowing that I did what I felt I should do and that the response was very, very affirmative and that it reassured me that the decision I had made was correct. And also what the most amazing part of it was Liz and I had been scheduled to go to a meeting of environmentalists over in Florence, Italy, right after my decision. And we went on the plane. And when I got to Italy, I didn't know what to expect. I went over and bought the Florence, Italy local daily, and there I was on the front page. And then when I went to the group of which were environmentalists, I got a standing ovation when I walked in, and that was just overwhelming. I had no idea that the implications would spread across the world as they did.
And what's been the worst part of your decision?
Friends, some very good friends that really like the situation we had with the moderates in particular, who were Republicans, yes, but did waver at times and go in another direction to try and make sure that the decisions were more responsible. I miss that, and they miss me.
That was Jim Jeffords on VPR in 2002 with host Bob Kinzel. Bob is one of our guests today, looking back on that time period. We're also talking with Eric Smolson, who was communications director for Senator Jeffords in 2001, and Tom Barry, who was a field representative for the senator in Vermont at that time. He now works for Senator Patrick Leahy. And we'd love to have you share your own memories, or you can think about what Jeffords' decision made for American politics. Reflect on that. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or post a note on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. Speaking of people who were abroad or remember how big a deal this was, Kevin and Marcella in Shelburne emailed to say, we were in Italy when this happened. As we were approaching our hotel, the manager ran out on the street and told us that our senator changed parties. He was so excited, and so were we. My point is that the Europeans are more knowledgeable and up-to-date about USA politics than a lot of Americans. Jennifer in Mendon says, here's an example of how far-reaching the news was. We were on a small ferry in the Shetland Islands on that day and heard the news on the BBC radio broadcast on the boat. Even in that remote part of Scotland, people around us immediately knew the import of his decision. Before the break, Bob, we were talking about some of the reasons why Senator Jeffords felt like he could no longer remain in the Republican Party and had to become an independent. There were other things that reporters like you at the time were pointing to as signs of a rift with the party and a rift with the White House, like when Jeffords wasn't invited to an event honoring the teacher of the year who was from Vermont, and Jim Jeffords wasn't invited to that. Were there other things that you were looking at that seemed to suggest reasons why Senator Jeffords thought he couldn't remain a Republican?
Well, Jane, I think that throughout his political career, you would see a pattern of Jim Jeffords butting heads with the leadership of both the state Republican Party and the National Republican Party. So it wasn't something that all of a sudden happened in 2001 and had never been contemplated before. I mean, if you go back to look at Jim Jeffords' career, you know, in 1968, he gets elected attorney general. He creates an environmental division. He takes on International Paper Company. He defends a challenge to the billboard law, supports the passage of the bottle bill. And in 1972, when he decides to run for governor, he writes in his book, it was clear the party leadership was, you know, ganging up against him. And you could see this throughout his career. And I think one of the more famous ones is in 1981, when he's the only Republican in the House to vote against the Reagan tax cut. And the Reagan administration tries to track him down. They desperately want to have a unanimous vote in the House. He says no. And he also creates what were a group of congressmen known as the Gypsy Moths. And this was a group of Northeastern liberals. And they were going to counter the influence of the so-called boll weevils, a group of Southern conservative Democrats. And Ronald Reagan thought this was a terrible idea and was furious at Jim Jeffords. So, you know, this was coming for a long time. And I think Senator Jeffords saw in 2001, as Eric mentioned, with the budget and the money for special education, I think Senator Jeffords felt there was a fundamental split between the goals of the National Republican Party and his own goals and the goals of Vermont, and a classic case of Jeffords feeling that he did not leave his party left him.
Tom?
I wanted to remark a memory I had from the year before the election cycle, and Bob probably knows better than I do all the facts involved, but it was a rough year in partisan politics in Vermont, that 2000 election cycle. And my memory is of being with the Republicans who gather typically at the Capitol Plaza on election night. And to say that the atmosphere was a bit chilly between Jeffords and his staff and the other statewide Republicans would probably be to understate it a little bit. I think that there was already a bit of a growing rift. And it might have just been that was a particularly bare-knuckle year as far as Vermont elections go. But, you know, there was a little bit of a chill starting, I think, even back home.
Bob, does that ring a bell for you as well?
Absolutely. I think, you know, there were people who felt that that Jeffords had supported President Bush in 2000 and that they were concerned about some of the statements that he was making. So, and I would probably think it goes back even further than that. It goes back into even the 1990s of Republicans in Vermont kind of wondering about this guy, Jim Jeffords, and how he's voting and, you know, wondering how long they're going to put up with him.
We have a lot of callers remembering where they were and remembering that time. So before we get to historian and longtime friend of Jim Jeffords, Howard Coffin, let's hear a few more recollections. Jane is calling in from Williamstown. Hi, Jane. Go ahead. Hi, Jane. Can you hear me?
Hi. I just wanted to comment that I worked at Ben & Jerry's in the administrative offices at the time of this announcement. And I was in a meeting, and they let us listen to the announcement, and the entire building just roared. It was great.
Jane, thanks for that recollection. I can imagine a huge building roaring. It would be quite an event. Virginia's in Worcester. Hi, Virginia. Your thoughts, your memories.
Yes, I just wanted to say I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Lesotho in southern Africa, and I was just so excited that that's all I wanted to talk about. My fellow volunteers finally asked me to stop talking about it so much.
Virginia, did you find out right away? Were you able to know as the event was happening?
Well, I'm not sure. No, I did not find out as it was happening. I probably found out a day or so later. But when I did, I was, and I'm from Vermont also, I was just extremely excited.
Thanks for that recollection. I appreciate it. And Terry's calling in from Mendon. Hi, Terry. Go right ahead.
I'm actually from Montgomery, but when I was heard about Senator Jeffords' change, I was working in Washington, D.C. for a public interest advocacy group. And those of us who were from Vermont were greeted as heroes by other people in Washington. I mean, I had people offering to buy me beers. We were just going around giving each other high fives that our senator had done this. And it was really a sense of solidarity with the state, and people from around the country who we worked with were just coming up to us with sheer joy over what had happened and how our state had done this. It was an amazing experience. It really produced a tight-knit sense for Vermonters who were there.
Terry, thanks for your recollections. I will say not everybody applauded this, and we did get a note from Angela in Burlington who says, I would have had no problem with Jeffords switching parties if he'd done it prior to the election. He was reelected as a Republican by the Republican voters. His switch to the Democratic Party was a slap in the face to people who reelected him. I feel what he did was an act of cowardice, not bravery.
Jane, I was going to comment on that there were a lot of people in the Vermont Republican Party who were really angry for that very reason, that in 2000, Jim Jeffords ran as a Republican, won by a huge margin, I think 2-1 over the Democratic opponent, Ed Flanagan. And then they say 5 months later, he decides he wants to become an independent. Come on, Jim Jeffords, why didn't you make that decision before and had the courage to run in 2000 as an independent? So you had a bunch of Vermont Republican leaders and members of the party here in Vermont who were really, really angry with Jim Jeffords.
Yeah, worth remembering. You know, this is a day that we look back 15 years, momentous occasion. But yeah, not everybody was happy. This was, and certainly not all of his Republican colleagues were happy. And we can talk a little bit about that as well. We're also talking with some people today who were staff members at the time, and you know this must have been a difficult time as well to be on staff. In 2002, VPR aired a series called The Jeffords Effect. In it, we spoke with Jim's wife, Liz Jeffords, who actually herself was originally opposed to the decision for him to leave the party. But as she said, she did eventually change her mind.
He was right. He knew what he had to do. I didn't. No one else did. And he knew that it just was not right. And for him, no matter what anybody said, he was going to do what he thought was right. He's a different person. He's relaxed. He's back to the old gym. He's just an entirely different person.
Coming up, we'll speak with Howard Coffin, author and historian. He had served as Jeffords' press secretary for 5 years in the 90s and was friends with the senator for a very long time. And we'll look at what this meant to him over the years. We'll also look at what happened after the announcement and after the decision, and does it have any lasting effect on U.S. politics? You're listening to Vermont Edition. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Eric Smulson is vice president of public affairs at Georgetown University, but he was communications director for Senator Jim Jeffords in 2001. Bob Kinzel reports mostly on politics for VPR as a state house reporter, and he was reporting on VPR back then. And Tom Barry was a field representative for Senator Jeffords 15 years ago, working out of the Vermont office. He's now a field representative for Senator Patrick Leahy. Together, they are sharing memories and stories about when Senator Jeffords left the Republican Party. And we've also been hearing some of your thoughts and memories. You can add them to all of the ones we've already heard. Go to VPR.net, click on Vermont Edition. Or you can call 1-800-639-2211. Ray in Vermont says, I think Senator Jeffords' move was a sign in the continuing decline in the older school, more moderate element in the GOP, where someone such as Mr. Jeffords, who was more environmentally minded, among other things, had become increasingly uncomfortable as the National Party moved further to the right and has become more overtly religious in its rhetoric. As an aside, I still have a bottle of Magic Hat's Jeezum Jim in my fridge that one of my friends gave me when that came out. Jean in East Craftsbury says, I remember that speech so well. I grew up with Jim and have had the highest respect for him. He's the reason we have the 504 Civil Rights Law from 1973, preventing discrimination for people with disabilities, free and appropriate public education for all handicapped children. He's my hero and the only Republican I ever voted for. And Robin in Saxton's River says, I remember the relief and pride I felt when Senator Jeffords switched parties rather than succumb to the bullying of his party leaders. I proudly placed a Thanks, Jim bumper sticker on my car and was once more so happy to be a Vermonter. In hindsight, this was the beginning of where we've now ended up with a vitriolic authoritarian candidate for president. First, the Republican Party leaders bullied their underlings, then the Tea Party faction bullied everyone and completely obstructed Congress. Now the bully is the norm, and we have Donald Trump, a terrifying potential president who may take the whole Democratic experiment down if elected. So Robin, tying a direct connection to what she sees as bad party politics, I'm curious to know, listeners, what you think about that. Post a thought on the Vermont Edition Facebook page or tweet at Vermont Edition. We're joined now as well by Howard Coffin, an author and historian. He served as Jim Jeffords' press secretary for 5 years in the early 90s and remained friends with the senator through the rest of Jim Jeffords' life. Howard, nice to have you back on the show.
Well, it's nice to be here. And has 15 years really gone by that fast? My goodness.
I was a senior in college, so believe me, I know all about the passage of time. It feels like it was both a long time ago and just a few days ago. Howard, you weren't working for Jim Jeffords at the time, but you had in the past, and you were a friend. Did you have a sense that this was coming, that this was something that could be a possibility for Senator Jeffords?
Well, years before this, when I was working for him, he and I were talking about him leaving the Republican Party. He had nominated a close friend of his, Fred Parker, to be a federal judge, and he had thrown that up to to George Bush the first, and they weren't acting on it, and Jim was absolutely furious, and I said to him, why don't you become a Democrat? And he said to me, he said, let the election pass. If they're reelected and they don't act on this right off, he said, I'm going. And the way we were talking, I assumed what he said was he was going to become not just an independent, but a Democrat. Well, the whole thing became moot because Bush wasn't reelected and the new president appointed Fred Parker. But years before that, he was ready to go. And I think if he'd gone then, he would have become a Democrat.
So what did you think about his decision as somebody who was close to him but, you know, a little bit removed?
Well, I thought it was, by the time he did it, I thought it was long overdue. He really wasn't much of a Republican. He was much more of a Democrat. I was in that room the day he made the announcement, and, you know, I try to think like an historian, and the thought occurred to me that day. He walked by me at the announcement. He gave me his thumbs up, and I was thinking all kinds of things. But I thought, you know, Vermont has always played an outsized role in the history of this country. And there was a perfect example of it right there, because this one man from Vermont stood the Congress, stood the country upside down on its head. I also thought that day, I was thinking that day about way back in 72, you know, when he'd run for governor, he should have been governor. He had earned it. His environmental achievements were remarkable, but the party got in his way and deprived him of the nomination, and he didn't get to become governor. When he hired me to go to work for him in 90, what he said to me was, and I wasn't too keen about going to Washington, he said, what I really want from you, Howard, is I want you to help me get elected governor of Vermont. I want you to come work for me, and we're going to do that. And I said, what are you going to do when you run for governor? And he said, what do you want to do? And I said, I want a state land use plan. He said, good, we're going after it. Well, that was the part of Act 250 that was never passed, and someday must be by this state. But I was so excited about that, I jumped on board.
But then he didn't run for governor again.
He didn't run for governor because by the time that opportunity became available, I don't think he was capable of it. I think it was beyond him. But I, you know, some people said, you know, that he never had a victory lap. He wasn't looking to finish his career in the United States Senate. He wanted to be governor of Vermont, and he wanted it for the best of reasons because he thought there were some things, particularly in the environmental field, that he could really contribute to Vermont and make it a better state. It's a sad thing that he didn't do that.
Well, there, you know, a thought on his what he could have been, even with all of the things he did. Howard Coffin, author, historian, friend of Jim Jeffords, and former staff member. Howard, thanks for your reflections.
Oh, I'm so happy to be able to be part of this. Thank you.
I'm curious, you know, Eric Smolson and Tom Barry and Bob Kinzel, what you think about any lasting effects, or if you tie the line that some of our listeners have from the politics of 15 years ago in the Republican Party to the politics of today. Gordon Bach in Northfield emailed to say, this causes me to reflect on this easygoing, kind, and decent man we were privileged to have as our senator, and how appalled Jeffords would be to have lived to see the divisive demagogue Donald Trump and his politics of hate atop the Republican ticket. Chris says Gentleman Jim would have been dismayed at the Republican Party today. Tom Barry, I mean, it's always hard to try to put thoughts into somebody else's mind, but do you see a direct connection between the Republican Party as it was shifting 15 years ago and to where it is today?
Well, you know, I think some about where we come, and sometimes 15 years, it seems like longer than 15 years. And, you know, being on congressional staff, I won't get heavily into the big R and the big D discussion, but another memory that I think combined with this shows the distance we've come and not necessarily positive direction politically would be to look back at the when Senator Jeffords announced as the first Republican that would not vote to convict President Clinton in the impeachment trial. And I think that's really one of the watershed moments as far as his treatment by his colleagues in Congress. And you can look at the list of other Republicans who got on board to essentially derail that impeachment. And if you go back to that point and then look at the what happened 15 years ago, through the lens of today, you can see Jim as being, I think, amazingly prescient in the direction, unfortunately, that the debate's gone. And, you know, the moderate Republicans who you could look to as the ones going all the way back to the impeachment trial are largely absent at this point from the Congress.
And Tom, I could just sort of pick up on that.
Yeah.
I mean, the moderates like John Chafee and Mark Hatfield and Jack Danforth and Arlen Specter, you know, at one point the moderates would meet for lunch every Wednesday, and the group was 10, 15 senators, and these were moderate Republicans who would get together and sort of figure out ways to reach consensus on really important issues. I mean, the issues that we're still talking about today, you know, climate change and clean air and education and civil rights, LGBT issues. I mean, these issues are still very prevalent today in our news and the issues that are important to the country. And it was a group of moderates on both sides of the aisle that were willing to sort of come together and to get things done. And I think, you know, that's one thing in today's politics that I think Jim would be sad about is just, you know, compromise or moderation is has become almost a bad word. And, you know, he understood that, you know, it wasn't about a fancy press release or, you know, making a lot of news. It was really more about getting stuff done. And he was really he was just, you know, a great statesman.
Bob, I would love your clear-eyed view here as a, you know, hard-nosed political journalist, you know, and let's all remember as well that, you know, Jim Jeffords made this announcement and decision in May of 2001. Just a few months later, we had 9/11, which certainly changed the focus of Congress and of everyone in America. Do you see a lasting difference that Jim Jeffords may have made?
Oh, I think he did. I think you mentioning September 11th is a huge deal. The fact that all of a sudden the Democrats are controlling the Senate. Pat Leahy is chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. The whole response to those terrorist attacks is different. You know, I would just want to echo what Eric said is I think Jim Jeffords would have been appalled at both the Republicans and the Democrats for the partisan nature of politics and the political deadlock in Washington and the fact that nobody wants to collaborate anymore. I think he would have also been very upset with the Democrats and the way the Democrats perhaps deadlocked a lot of issues during the George W. Bush administration years. So I think he would have looked at the whole political system and said, boy, we have really gone off the rails.
Well, it's interesting to think about and really interesting to reflect on this time. I want to thank all three of you for being on the program and helping us remember what it was like and why it was important 15 years ago when Vermont Senator Jim Jeffords declared he was no longer a Republican and was going to become an independent and caucus with the Democrats. Bob Kinzel, VPR State House reporter, Friday host of Vermont Edition. He was reporting for VPR back then. Tom Barry was field representative for Senator Jeffords at the time of the decision, now field representative for Senator Patrick Leahy. And Eric Smolson is vice president of public affairs at Georgetown University, and he was communications director for Senator Jeffords in 2001. Thanks very much to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jane.
Thanks.
Now, tomorrow on this program, Vermont State Police and experts from Northeastern University have analyzed data from 5 years of traffic stops. We'll look at what the data shows about race, potential bias, and how our state police operate. You can send your questions to Vermont Edition at vpr.net, and be sure to listen to that program tomorrow at noon. Keep sending us your recollections. Go to vpr.net and click on Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.